Prize fighting was one of the most popular sports among working-class males in the 19th century, and great championship battles galvanized men like few other events. It was also illegal. Pugilism elicited passionate responses from its partisans and from its opponents, and these responses grew out of deeply felt assumptions concerning man and society. Boxing is not about instincts or innate aggressiveness. It is about values, social relationships, and culture. To understand bare-knuckle prize fighting, I've discovered, is necessarily to understand something about 19th century America. Ideology, ethnicity, social class formation, violence, urbanization, gender roles, religious worldviews, productive relationships, all are part of sports history in general and boxing history in particular. I begin with the English origins of the ring, then discuss the earliest manifestations of pugilism in the young United States. By the antebellum era, as old artisan ways of life dissolved and a modern working class began to emerge in American cities, bare-knuckle fighting entered its golden age. Boxing encountered stiff opposition during these early Victorian years, for the forces transforming labor, entrepreneurial capitalism, specialization of tasks, industrialization, were driven by powerful bourgeois and evangelical ideologies that militated against the sloppy habits of laboring men. After the Civil War, however, prize fighting was reformed. From a fugitive outlaw sport, the very word sport and sporting implied social deviance during much of the 19th century, it became a more business-like, quasi-respectable recreation, one that upper and middle-class men found fascinating. My last chapters explore the social basis of this transformation and its meaning for Victorian culture. The manly art is of mixed academic parentage, though the disciplines from which it springs might not recognize their offspring. Still, one can detect genetic strains from folklore, anthropology, sociology, and American studies, as well as labor, social, and sports history. I have been deliberately eclectic. I am a partisan of no particular school of thought, but I do have some axes to grind. This is gender history. It could not have been written without the crucial insights of the women's studies movement, that sexual definitions are a critical part of consciousness, and that they change the social, cultural, and economic circumstances. To write about prize fighting is necessarily to describe important rituals of manhood. But awareness of the potential malleability of gender roles gives added significance to the study of sports. Bare-knuckle boxing expressed a particular male ethos that grew out of specific historical conditions. This is also social history, or more precisely, folk history. I attempt here, as historians have for the past couple of decades, to understand the lives of those who left few records, but who nevertheless were important historical actors. The same biases that rendered women voiceless in the writing of history simultaneously excluded the majority of men. In particular, workers, ethnic minorities, and the poor. The manly art is a small contribution toward rectifying that imbalance. Finally, this is a labor history. If in the 1950s, scholars assumed that America's working class was merely an extension of the petite bourgeoisie, then those of the 1970s and 80s threatened to reduce culture to politics. I will state this baldly. Most workers did not spend their free time reading The Rights of Man, toasting Tom Paine, and struggling to resist oppression. Probably more hours were consumed at cockfights than at union meetings during the 19th century. Radicals there were, of course, and they have been studied brilliantly. But if historians are to understand working-class people, they must look closely at their folklore and recreations, their pastimes and sports. For it's been in leisure more than in politics or in labor that many men and women have found the deepest sense of meaning and wholeness. The manly art is not a complete history of the prize ring, nor a genealogy of champions in their battles. The names of some important fighters do not even appear here. Because my intent is to interpret boxing, not merely to describe it, I've had to be selective in the events I discuss. Besides, the sources, mostly newspapers and popular pamphlets, contain detailed and reliable information on a limited number of fights. It is on these bouts that I have dwelled in order to reconstruct the culture of the ring. Prologue: The English Prize Ring. The Marquess of Queensberry, Sir Henry Smith, Lord Yarmouth, the Honorable Barclay Craven, Major Mellish, General Grosvenor, Lord Pomfret, Sir Charles Alton, and countless other men